When I wake up, oh God, you are my priority. This is what I see David saying. When I rise, I'm insufficient for what the day requires in every aspect of my life. So in the morning, I seek you. In the morning, I prepare to meet with you. In the morning, I watch as I pray to see how you will answer. In the morning, oh God, you are first.
What is up, and welcome to Live in the Light. We are so grateful that you're joining us today, wherever you're from and however you're listening. Maybe this is the first time you're tuning in. Live in the Light exists to see radical transformation in God's people through the revelation of God's truth. And that basically means that we don't shy away from the truth of God's word, and we believe that it is the only way someone can experience true joy and true heart transformation. And speaking of joy, we are starting a new series, and today's first message is called A Recipe for Rejoicing. Hey, Robbie, what's that like?
Shannon, so great to hear you do that intro. That's so great and exciting. Yes, joy. That's right. So Psalm 5 and our title for the next couple of days, it's A Recipe for Rejoicing. Hey, Shannon, like when you hear that title, Recipe for Rejoicing, kind of gets your interest, doesn't it?
Totally gets my interest. I am into any recipe, and I love the idea of joy.
Yes, exactly. So I wonder if you're the same way, like you're listening. I'm the same way too, Shannon. So is there a recipe for rejoicing? Well, actually, there is. And it's found in God's word. And Psalm 5, again, is going to come to the forefront of our lives to give us a path to find joy. Now, I just got to warn you, it's not, of course, the way of the world. It's so anti what we usually hear around us from secularism, but it is of the Lord. It's by the Holy Spirit, and it's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're excited to bring this to you. So hopefully you're sitting up straight, ready to listen. You're like, I could use a recipe for rejoicing. I know, us too, here at Live in the Light. It's why we're here, to see you blessed and loved and filled with joy in this context from Psalm 5.
All right, we are talking about all five ingredients today from Psalm 5 that will bring joy to your life. So open up your Bible with me. Let's jump in at Psalm 5, verse 1.
Good to hear your amens. Good to be with you today. Good to see you all right now. Just in case some of you aren't aware, my name's Robbie. Simon's one of the pastors here, and so thankful to be so. I was away on a bit of a break. My wife and family and I are very aware of the grace to be able to do so. I want you to know that, and immense gratitude I have felt through the last several weeks, and mean that sincerely. And then, so there's grace, there's gratitude. One more G is great, the great team we have here at Hope Bible Church. I actually attended the 12 o'clock service last weekend, kind of coming back into town, and I heard Brandon preach, and I was just thinking, I was amazed that yet another guy who can bring the word in our church, and we are so, so blessed here in this church. And so amen, we clap for that, amen, amen. It really is amazing, and the stewardship that God has entrusted to us as a church. And so very thankful, and I'm also thankful that we're still opening the Bible here at Hope Bible Church. That is right. So if you could open your Bibles to Psalm 5, that would be awesome. Psalm 5, and we're going to start unpacking that in just a couple of moments. Psalm 5, we'll be spending at least 2 weeks. Again, Lord willing, we'll see what happens on the third week. And I want to begin as we kind of enter into this message today with this. Everyone loves a great recipe. Everyone loves a great recipe. So one of the recipes I loved when I was a young kid was a chocolate chip cookie recipe. And all God's people said, amen. Like chocolate chip cookies, still love them today. We have a special recipe. I think it was passed down at least for a generation. And I used to get it because I loved it so much. And I used to actually attempt to make it too. And I remember a few batches went actually okay. And it was exciting to see a recipe and unfold. And it was kind of delicious and be able to enjoy that. Some of you right now, you got some secret sauce recipe that's been passed down maybe through decades or generations. And you're sharing that with no one. It is a family secret and it is delicious. And you have blessed countless people with that. And you're holding that close. And maybe you'll pass it down in secret to some child or some family member who's worthy of that kind of resource as well. And I'm thankful for your secret sauce recipe because it is a blessing and it tastes so good as well. Recipes bless a lot of people. A great recipe has been used again since the world started to see a lot of blessing. But here's where I want to transition. What if there's a recipe for food not only, because food's one thing, what if there's a recipe for so much more? What if there's a recipe that we could follow with wisdom and God's spirit that would result in internal blessing? A recipe for the love of God to be known and felt, a recipe of hope. What if there was a recipe of rejoicing? A recipe that would result in a greater joy in our lives. Wouldn't that be great? I have two words in response to that question. Yes, please. Yes, please, a recipe for rejoicing. I mean, look around. We live right now in a world rampant with dissatisfaction, discouragement, disillusionment. It's just, it's all around us. You see it, I see it. So many, the world's preaching such a big game, delivers on nothing. And so many people are dissatisfied. Today, we start to see a pathway, a journey, a recipe for rejoicing. And here's what I love too. It's no secret. It's what God reveals to us in Psalm 5. So we've been in this wonderful series again this summer, Good for the Soul, Summer Pause for Series in the Psalms. But today we're going to do a little series within a series. We can put that slide up right now. And so this is where we go for at least 2 weeks and likely three, a recipe for rejoicing, a joy-filled exposition of Psalm 5. As we again, open Psalm 5. It's interesting that we don't know the context of Psalm 5 for sure. Some suggest maybe this is when David finds himself within crisis with Absalom. It's unlikely, but some have said just based on the content, possibly. He does describe enemies a lot within this psalm. So this may suggest this is a time prior to David fleeing from Jerusalem, again, with the crisis he found himself in. So whenever this was, whenever it was happening, here's what we do know for certain. We know David is under opposition. We know David is up against deception. We know David is dealing with lies, and David is surrounded, again, what he defines as evil. That for sure is the context of this psalm. Maybe you can relate right now. Maybe you can relate. Maybe you find yourself surrounded by forms of opposition. Maybe you relate right now and you're up against lies, a lack of integrity. Some of you, again, are confronted with the seriousness of things and difficulty and enemies, and you would just label it outright evil. If that is you, then you will find this psalm very pertinent for where you are, very helpful, very instructive, and I also pray very, very encouraging. However, this psalm, again, in the difficulty of where David finds himself, we do see, if you look at Psalm in the last two verses, verses 11 and 12, we see where David ends up, right? He's on this journey, and this journey ends in joy. Verse 11, let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy. And spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may exult in you. Listen, for you bless the righteous, O Lord. You cover him with favor as with a shield. So again, look at where David ends up. The difficulty, the pain, the crisis, the opposition. He ends up, though, with joy. He ends up with rejoicing. He ends up with love and blessing and favor. Again, we respond to that. Yes, please. Yes, please sign me up for where David ends up. But here's the question. How does he get there? How does he get there in the midst of pain and crisis and opposition to this place of rejoicing and joy and love and favor and blessing? The answer to how he gets there is the whole nature of what we're going to do in Psalm 5. It's a recipe for rejoicing. And we're going to see that Psalm 5 provides for us five ingredients as we go through Psalm 5 in this recipe for rejoicing. So we're going to unpack a couple of these ingredients today, and then Lord willing, we will have the remainder of the ingredients on this recipe for rejoicing next week as well. So you got to come back as we finish the psalm again, Lord willing, next week. So five ingredients in Psalm 5. Let's read the first portion of our psalm and then we will begin to bake our cake of joy. Amen, church? That'd be great. Wouldn't that be great? That'd be great. Verse 1, David says, "Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my groaning. Give attention to the sound of my cry, my King and my God, for to you do I pray. O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch." Love that. "For you are not a God who delights in wickedness." Listen to this. "Evil may not dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all evildoers. You destroy those who speak lies. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man." Wow. Verse 7, "But I, through the abundance of your steadfast love, will enter your house. I will bow down toward your holy temple in the fear of you. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before me." All right, this is on the journey of, again, the recipe of rejoicing, the journey towards joy. Ingredient number one. Okay, what I love about this today is that there's so much clarity. Do you want more joy in your life? And I pray the answer is yes. If you want more joy, as you apply these ingredients to your life this week, you are guaranteed for the joy of God to result, again, as we are not just hearers, but doers of the word. What is ingredient number one? It is this. It is early, earnest prayer. Ingredient number one for the recipe for rejoicing is early, earnest prayer. Again, verse 1, "Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my groaning. Give attention to the sound of my cry, my King and my God, for to you do I pray." Now, as we jump into Psalm 5 and we see David here, this reveals so much. I want you to stop. I want you to think. I want you to soak it into with God's word. You've come this far, you might as well be transformed. And look at what David is revealing here. We see in these first couple of verses the power of David's heart, the power of David's dependence, which leads then to the power of David's joy. David, in the midst of pain and difficulty and crisis, loved ones, watch this. In the midst of his pain and difficulty, there's only one direction his life takes. There's only one person he goes to. There's only one thing that he is consumed with the direction of his life. It is towards his King and his God. I mean, that's so instructive right there. Where do you turn in the midst of pain and crisis, opposition and difficulty? So often we talk so much about different things, but we never actually talk to God about those things. Here is David. Notice what he says, a trio of imperatives in verses 1 and 2. Notice he says, "Oh God, give ear to my words. Consider my groaning. Give attention to the sound of my cry." Like right here, these imperatives, do you sense his earnestness? Can you hear his urgency? Can you feel his dependence, listen, on the Lord, on his recipe for rejoicing? He presents his pain. He gives his groans. He calls out with a cry. He is on his way with earnest prayer. Listen, with earnest prayer to the only true source of lasting joy. It is so simple, but it is so profound. Where do we turn when we find ourselves in the greatest need and find ourselves in life in general? Look at the direction of David's life through prayer to the source of inexhaustible joy. Notice that David does not turn to alcohol. Some of you this week have tried to turn to such substances and it'll never, ever, ever satisfy. There's a temporary numbing, and then of course the misery sets in yet again. Notice he does not turn to binge eating. He's not trying to find his way out through the physical appetites. Notice he doesn't turn either to entertainment, as we are so, so prone to do as much as ever. Notice he doesn't turn to the gossip to others about his enemies or his problems. Notice he doesn't turn trying to talk to all these different people without talking to God himself. Notice he doesn't turn to Twitter. Notice he does not turn to yet another purchase, trying to numb the pain of the reality of discontentment. See, David's a wise man. He knows, why would I turn to such things when they will only multiply my sorrows? It's David actually wrote in Psalm 16. David said this. He says, the sorrows of those, this is so instructive on the journey to joy. The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. Isn't it so? So again, the journey to rejoicing is the Lord Jesus Christ. The journey to multiplied sorrows is to run after the world, is to run after false gods. The sorrows of those who run after other gods, they will multiply. Sorrows, false gods, multiply sorrow in our lives. The recipe for rejoicing, of course, is found in earnest prayer to the Lord himself. Look what he says next in verse 2. He says, to my King and my God. That's so good, eh? My King and my God. But wait a second, David was king. Yeah, but David was the earthly king, and David understood, again, with a man after God's own heart, David understood who the true king was. That was the Lord himself, and he refers to the Lord as my King and my God. And then the final phrase in verse 2, so helpful, for to you do I pray. For to you do I pray. And there it is. And there it is. And there is what? There is the secret to the man after God's heart. What is the secret to the man after God's heart? Is that he's constantly pursuing the heart of God. The secret to joy, the secret to being a man or woman after the intimacy of the Lord, is to be a man or woman who's pursuing, again, in affection, the heart of God. I mean, Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, only found in the Lord Jesus Christ, only found in the gospel, only found in the person of God himself. And that then is where satisfaction is found. You see, the recipe for rejoicing is dependence through prayer upon the living God. It is right here. This is what David is saying. He says, to you do I pray, to you do I pray. Notice, not to money, not to politics, not even to a friend, not to a superstition, not to a device. So simple, so powerful, so important. To you, God, do I depend. To you do I pray. Again, notice embedded within these verses, his reliance, his dependence, his priority was prayer. Prayer to his King and his God. This is his recipe for rejoicing. He's going to the source, the one who is the bread of life. He goes to, again, Jesus Christ, the only one who can dispense living water. Again, pain, crisis, opposition, difficulty, straight to the heart of God. Where do you and I turn? Where are you turning right now in your life in the midst of the difficulties and challenges we all face? See, one of the things that happens is we read Psalm 5, verses 1 and 2. We look at it, we're like, oh, that's nice, that's nice. But then nothing changes in how you and I actually change our lives and approach God. We nod, we give lip service, and I say this because this is what I do too. But the reality of changing the directions of our affections and our intentions to see more prayer lived out for the Lord Jesus Christ, that's when life starts to actually be transformed again within our lives. Hey, why do so many believers in Christ lack joy? It's because they lack Jesus. The reason so many believers lack joy is because they lack Jesus. Jesus isn't first. He's somewhere way down the list, and everything else in life seems to crowd in. But if Jesus is only the true source of joy, unless he's first, of course we're going to be living without. Of course we will be living with a dissatisfaction. Of course we'll be living battling misery and frustration and anger and discontentment, because there's only one who can actually be that true fulfillment of that joy. David understands. So David's like, I'm crying, I'm groaning, I'm praying, my kids. And my God, you are the one that I need. And this begins his recipe for rejoicing. Man, like, again, this stuff is simple, but it is absolutely paramount for our lives as we live before Jesus Christ. I mean, imagine we were a generation that sincerely sought the face of God. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks the face of God of Jacob. Can you imagine if we were known for our hunger and pursuit of the Lord? Can you imagine the impact that that would bring? And one of the best ways that we display our dependence and reliance upon God is through early, earnest prayer. Hey, did you know that we have a prayer meeting coming up this Wednesday at 7 p.m.? Did you know that? And the reason we do that is we get to live out together the very reality of what God is showing to us. The more we live our lives based on dependence in prayer, the more joy we will encounter because the more of God's presence starts to fill our lives. Now, hear me very correctly. You build your life on earnest prayer, it's not getting easier. It will get much better, but it is not getting easier, but it will be more joy. Because there's more Jesus entering into your life. This Wednesday at 7 p.m., one of the ways that we gather to live out and to see more of this ingredient again fill our lives and be a part of our church in seeking and abiding in him that we might know his joy. But David's not done even with this prayer piece. Look at verse 3 now. Verse 3. I love verse 3. He says, "O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch." So interesting. Psalm 5 can also be called a morning psalm. It can also be seen as a morning prayer because of verse 3, because David's so intentionally holding up the power of the morning. In the morning, I seek you. In the morning, I pray to you. In the morning, again, my heart longs for you. In the morning, I prepare. In the morning, I watch to see what will happen. This could be a morning prayer. You could take Psalm 5. You could pray it every morning this week. That might be an unbelievably great suggestion. Notice how morning is repeated twice in verse 3. See, again, David's intentionality with how he uses his mornings in the pursuit of joy found only in the Lord God Almighty. Now, I'm going to admit right now, church, okay, I am heavily biased here up front when it comes to verse 3. I'm heavily biased. What do you mean? Well, I'm a big believer in the morning. Like a big believer in the morning. However, we must all admit as we approach Scripture, there are so many examples in Scripture. Moses, here's David, and Jesus himself as to the power of the morning. Again, if I'm totally honest, and I want to be, my life, I live and die by my mornings. That is no exaggeration. I cannot do what I do. I'll never be who God wants me to be apart from my mornings with him. It won't happen. I live and die by my mornings seeking the Lord Jesus Christ, because apart from abiding in Jesus Christ, I and you can do nothing. When I see verse 3 here, it just makes my heart resonate so deeply with the power of what is being expressed. Notice here too, what I see David saying in verse 3 is priority. When I wake up, oh God, you are my priority. This is what I see David saying. When I rise, I'm insufficient for what the day requires in every aspect of my life. So in the morning, I seek you. In the morning, I prepare to meet with you. In the morning, I watch as I pray to see how you will answer. In the morning, oh God, you are first. The power of living a life where the Lord gets the first day of our week, where the Lord receives the first check that I write, where the Lord alone gets the first hour of my day. That is a life indicating the priority and the love for God above all else. The first day of my week, the first check that I write, and the first hour of my day In the morning, O God, do I seek you. I remember being at a conference several years ago, and pastor, preacher Chip Ingram was there, great man, great pastor and speaker and author. I remember him, he's preaching a message, one of the things he said so practically, it's always stuck with me. I resonated with it based on what I've said to you already, but he said this to me, I've never forgotten it, I probably never will. He's like, you know, he's talking about pursuing the Lord and stuff, and he's like, I looked at my life and I asked myself, what do I do after 9 o'clock at night? And he's like, as I looked at my life, he goes, I realized that after 9 p.m. at night, I might watch the news, I might dabble a little bit of this, but for the most part, it's fairly unproductive. There's not a lot that I'm doing between 9 and midnight, whatever it is that I'm really excited about, or it's kind of enriching, especially my walk with the Lord. And he's like, so I decided, he's like, well, why would I want to do that? Why don't I go to bed earlier and then wake up earlier, where the best part of my day and the first part of my day is given again to pursue the Lord. And he's like, I've been living that way ever since. And I'm sitting there listening and I'm just like, yeah, that really, really resonates with me personally. Like I'm listening, I'm like, what do I do after 9 o'clock? No. As I say this, I want to give tons of grace for those that are night people, okay? Which I understand would be more than a few. But you must ask yourself the same question as well. What is happening after 9 p.m., let's say, in the evening? How much productivity for the Lord is there? When am I at my best in that way? And maybe for you, it's an evaluation to say, yes, that's right. I'm going to, again, go to bed earlier. I'm going to use my time more wisely and then wake up in the preparation of seeking the Lord again in this way with a preparation and organization to be so watchful in all that the Lord would have for me. I've never forgotten that. It's always stuck with me so much. And I just had a hard time disagreeing with them. Again, lots of grace for those maybe who have struggles in the morning. I just think you need to see what the text is saying, the examples that have been before us. And we have to say again, how do I want to live my life in the way that God has given me opportunity? So this is a massive ingredient to the recipe of rejoicing. Notice David's intentionality. So we're still not done on this prayer theme. Look at the end of verse 3. He says, I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch. So watch this. David's not waking up and scrolling through his social media feed, right? That's not what he's doing here. David is prepared. He's ordered. David has a plan of seeking God. He's prepared and he's ready to watch as well, to meet with his God. Let's get very practical here for a second. We've gone through this teaching in years past as well. So just taking this, in the morning, I prepare a sacrifice for you. Maybe this for you, this is stuff that we have, and we've taught. We have wonderful resources in our God Time 5G Life page again with on our website. This has been taught. The Institute does an awesome job with this and our group ministry and all of that. Let me just remind you, though, of the simplicity of coming with a plan of seeking the Lord, because David had this. First of all, get a plan to wake up, a reading plan of what you're going to do, a plan to have a journal. A plan of preparation of how you're going to spend your time seeking the Lord. Get a plan. Don't just show up and just kind of point somewhere in scriptures. Get a plan.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We are so glad you're here. And without you, Living the Light wouldn't exist. Our passion and mission here is to see radical transformation in God's people through the revelation of God's truth. We believe that through the faithful and passionate preaching of God's word, disciples will be made and the church will be strengthened. Do you want to be a part of that mission? If so, check out our website at liveinthelight.ca for ways to give or give us a call at 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's all for today. Hope you can join us again next time on Live in the Light. I wanna-